More than half of teachers are considering quitting their jobs. That's according to a survey earlier this year from the National Education Association. Since 2020, an estimated 600,000 teachers have already left the profession as they face stress and staffing shortages that have worsened during the pandemic. Kem Smith is an English teacher at McClure North High School in Florissant, Missouri. She understands why teachers want to quit because years ago, she did. But the joy of her calling brought her back to the classroom. And now she's helping guide others with a new advice column for Chalkbeat called After the Bell. Kem Smith, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you, Deepa.
You know, the first sentence of your very first column, I'm just going to read it. Teachers, you are doing better than you think. That's pretty profound. Why did you start on that note?
I start on the note because when you hear the frustration, many times we don't take time to acknowledge that what we're doing is phenomenal.
Right. And I guess the idea of an advice column is really kind of maybe getting at the idea that teachers don't really have anyone to turn to with the dilemmas that they face, really deep, kind of profound dilemmas in their jobs on a daily basis. Am I right?
That's correct, because there's so many layers to what we do on a day-to-day basis that oftentimes we can only talk to other teachers about what we do.
And I guess your advice column is really that. It's you who is a teacher with more than 20 years of teaching experience from, you know, the littlest grades up to 12th grade. You also have a doctorate and you're a mama. You have 5 kids. Most of them are grown, but your youngest is 13. Am I correct? And I understand that when your youngest was born, that's when you decided to quit teaching. How come?
It was all too much trying to be a middle school teacher, and every middle school teacher in the audience who hears this understands. Mm-hmm. You almost have to have like some type of special personality assistance to be able to be everything that a middle schooler needs. And, you know, just take that and multiply it by, I don't know, 150 kids every day. And to be all of that for those students and then have a little baby who you need to take care of. It's just more than at that time I felt like I could handle.
But then you came back to teaching. How come?
Everything I did that wasn't teaching, it kept being teaching. I had a business and people would come in and say, oh, this kind of feels like a classroom. It's just, it becomes who you are. And so for me, I missed the calling. I missed the classroom. I missed the autonomy of being able to develop lessons and be with my students and watch them grow and have them come back. And I'm fortunate enough now to work with 12th graders where I actually get to see them graduate and take selfies with them. And then I live in the community where I teach, so I also get to see them when they come back home from college. You know, I really get to watch these students develop through life.
You know, what I'm hearing from you is a deep love of the job. And, you know, I think I've seen it in many of my children's teachers over the years. Love for the job, though, I'm guessing can only take you so far. You started an advice column because I guess you needed support, really tangible support. Give me the, like, pinwheel of some of the things that teachers have written to you about asking your advice on.
Many times it's the new teacher and they're trying to prepare people for what happens in the classroom, but you almost cannot. Until you are in this room with 35 kids looking at you, they're not interested in your material. They're interested in the other 35 kids who are around the room. They're interested in what's going on the internet. So to capture their attention for over 85 minutes and be able to engage them and get work out of them, you know, all of those things are beyond challenging. And not even just that, I think that people don't realize that we do our work before and after the students are here. So we do the work that most people will have in an office job. Then we have a day full of students, and then we do our work after they leave as well.
And it's in those long hours that you're putting in that maybe some of these more existential questions come up, like, why am I doing this? Or, you know, I want to teach U.S. history. I want to teach real U.S. history. I think this was one of your columns that I read. But the political machine around me won't let me. What do I do? How did you respond to that one?
So that one is such a challenge because that is where we are. That is, we're on the cusp of trying to figure out what is the reality of this. And then there's this whole situation, too, where as a teacher, in order to teach, you have to address the biases that you have. Those things help us to not only be able to understand how to communicate that way in a way to a student, to where you have an inclusive environment. It helps you to be a better human. And that's what we're setting out to do, to just be better humans so that our students will understand that everyone deserves a level of humanity and respect. And that's what it's about when you're trying to teach the truth of U.S. history and history around the world.
One of the other things I super appreciated about your column was that you almost allowed teachers to put themselves first, which I don't think teachers ever really get to do. And one of those was that teachers often might neglect their own mental health and that it can be difficult for them to help their students through challenges in lives, let alone move forward academically, when they themselves might need some support. Can you tell us about a specific challenge you've had as a teacher over the past couple years and how you worked through it?
Oh, definitely. During the 2 years of virtual education, I don't think this was my first time actually experiencing what depression was like, you know, going from my bedroom to the place in the house that was established for me teaching. Our students didn't have to have their cameras on. So I just sat in front of a blank screen and tried to teach all day.
So you had no idea really what was going on the other side of the screen.
No, and I did have one student at one point turn his camera on, and I was just like, wow, this is very distracting, because I don't know if maybe his mom like had a home daycare, because there, you know, there were just children everywhere, and people live in different situations. You come to school because that is where you're going to focus on the material, but when you're at home, there are other challenges that will distract you. And so it was so hard for me to engage my students in. I thrive off of the relationships that I have with them here in school. And when school wasn't there, I just didn't have it.
How did you get through that?
So I did actually pursue and find a therapist that worked best for me. And I was able to vocalize and explain some of the things that I went through. Fortunately, the school was consistently working on a plan to bring us back in person. But even with bringing us back in person, there were so many people in my community who were dying, you know, catching COVID and not being able to recover. And on top of COVID, there was the flu. And on top of the flu, there was what we call in our district the dual pandemic, with race problems and issues all across America, with riots and, you know, just all of everything was happening all at once. And it was just challenging.
And I think part of an advice column, really, sometimes, even if you're not going to be motivated to send your darkest problem to the writer of the column, it's just somewhat cathartic to read that others might be going through what you are too. Is that part of what you're doing?
That's my hope. I mean, my hope is to say, hey, this is us. We have our own community. Like, we can actually help each other through what may be the toughest time in history.
I just want to end by asking you personally, because you clearly love what you do, even through the challenges that you've just told us about. But something that stuck with me, you wrote, quote, "To explore ways to reconnect with the magic of teaching without losing your marbles." So what does that look like? How do you do it? Because it sounds like what you're forecasting there is the need for balance.
Absolutely. We have so much on our plates. And the magic of teaching is to shut that out for a minute and just find out what's going on with every student. Find something special about that student and find a way to acknowledge that special part of them when they are working out of their strengths and doing the best they can and showing up in class. We need to celebrate them and celebrate ourselves.
Well, you've inspired me to go away and shoot a note to my children's teachers to tell them how much I appreciate them and not just wait for Teacher Appreciation Week. Kem Smith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Kem Smith, who has a doctorate in education, is an English teacher at McClure North High School in Florissant, Missouri. She's also the writer behind the Chalkbeat advice column for teachers called After the Bell.